This morning. As Dale mentioned, I do plan to share the winter Bible school topic I was given this past winter. I was initially planning to share it earlier, then Jared Weaver was scheduled to share the topic here, and he shared the same topic I was given, and I listened to his. I was not able to be here the evening that he was here, but I know there was some similarities and yet somewhat different as well. And I was also preaching through the book of James at the time, and just, yeah, finally now plan to share it this morning. I will say in the beginning, one dilemma I'm facing a little bit is, for the winter Bible school topic, I was given 45 to 50 minutes, so I got to trim it a little bit this morning. So I will do my best, but we might not be able to have quite as much singing time between the message and Sunday school this morning as some mornings. So the title I was given was Technology and Time Management. And it was a good topic that was given to me because it's something I wrestle with personally and something I continue to wrestle with. I haven't got it all figured out or don't always manage the time very well or as best as I should regarding technology. So at the beginning of this topic, I'd like us to think about a little bit, what is technology? So when you hear that word, what comes to your mind? Curious what anyone, what comes there, you can shout it out. What comes to your mind when you think of technology?
Computers.
Computers, okay.
Cell phone.
Cell phone. I think I heard someone else.
The wheel.
The wheel, okay. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting with the ones that were given. So one definition of technology is it is science or knowledge put into practical use to solve problems or invent useful tools. So thinking about different forms of technology, you could say, well, the bench you're sitting on is a form of technology, right? If you rode in a vehicle to get here, that was technology. Many, many different tools or things that went into making that vehicle. This mic here, this sound system is technology. The lights are a form of technology. So is it safe to say this church is a pretty techie church? We use technology in a lot of different ways. Someone has also said, technology is anything invented after I was born. So we might not always think about the things that were invented before we're born as technology, but there was a lot of technology that was designed or created over the years. So technology has come a long way, and this morning I do plan to look more specifically at digital technology. When the people who were putting the Winter Bible School topics together, I don't know exactly what they had in mind with this title, Technology and Time Management, but where my mind went almost immediately was digital technology, an ever-changing world that we live in. So thinking about a little bit of the change that we've experienced as or throughout the world. So what about our transportation, for example? So many years ago, in order to get around, you either walked or maybe rode a donkey or a horse for transportation. Now, I mean, transportation has come a very long way. We can basically travel the world in a day's time. We can board an airplane and fly across the sea and into another country. Communication is another one. Well, years ago, in order to communicate, it had to be, you know, verbal communication, or you could send a message out through a messenger, or maybe over time when people figured out how to write on paper and send notes to each other. Well, now, with the click of a few buttons, we can speak to someone on the other side of the world. Technology has come a long way in communication. Another one to look at quickly is shopping. Instead of going to the store to always purchase something, now we can pull out our phone or use our computer and purchase something with a click of a few buttons and have it delivered to our door. So we live in a world that has experienced much change, and more recently, a lot of change more than some years. Maybe you wish technology would just stop, that maybe you feel it's come too far already with things like virtual reality or AI, artificial intelligence, and some of those things can be a little scary or a little alarming. What can be done through artificial intelligence. So I realize with technology, you have differing views. Some of you might be excited at the next new digital technology that comes out, and others might want to shrink back and wish it would just stop, and maybe a little bit of both. So as Christians, how should we view technology, specifically digital technology? Is it a helpful tool, or is it an enemy that we should fear? Is it a blessing or a curse? Can it be some of both? To illustrate that, I have two things I'd like to use as an object lesson in the beginning here. I don't often carry a knife with me to church, but I have a knife with me, and I also have my cell phone with me. And I want to ask the question, what do these two have in common? And again, I'm going to open it up to you. What comes to your mind? Does the phone and the knife, do they have something or some things in common? I'd like to hear from you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? I think Dale said it well, and I want to come back to this towards the end of the message. Dale's answer was they both can be used for good, but they can also both be used for bad. There's a reason that a knife like this, we don't just lay around where a young child can get a hold of it, because we realize the knife can be very harmful in the hands of a wrong person or in the hands of a person that wants to do harm with it. We guard the knife, and I believe we need to guard the phone as well and what we do with it. So I want to look at 3 points this morning. And I realize we're only going to scratch the surface on this subject. There's so much that could be shared on technology and time management. But the first one I want to look at is technology dangers. And then the second one is technology opportunities. And then the thirdly, look at time management regarding technology. And I don't plan to spend a whole lot of time looking at time and our use of it, but more so some of the dangers and opportunities that we have with it and how we should handle digital technology. I am curious, how many of you have read the book Surviving the Tech Tsunami? I'd like to see a raise of hands for those of you who have read the book. So a few hands went up. I read this book as I was preparing for this topic. It was a very good read, and I would encourage each of you, if you feel you need to make better use of time regarding technology, is to pick up this book. And also, another book that I have here is Tech Talk. I believe this should be in the church library. Grace had got it, I believe, just fairly recently, and I do plan to let you have it in the library after this. I used it at various places that I shared. I did not read through this book. I read certain parts or a few parts of it, but I think it's geared a little bit more towards youth or younger people. But Gary Miller wrote both these books, and definitely a worthwhile read, thinking about technology. You can turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to look at a few verses there. And Dawson, I appreciated the songs that you selected this morning, and Dale, the verses that you shared. So we know we sang about how God is holy, and we know that we are called to be holy as well. And we should live a holy life regarding technology, our phones, computers, and things like that. God cares what we do with those things. Now, one thing you won't find in the Bible is specific verses how to use a smartphone or how to use a computer and how we should deal with digital technology. But we can go to the Bible and look at some ways that guide us in how we should use technology. And Paul here in Ephesians 5 gives us some guidance as we think about digital technology and how we use it. So I'm just going to read through this fairly quickly. There's a lot of verses here that we can look at. I'm going to read verses 1 through 21 and just pull out a few things that I want us to put in our minds as we go through the topic this morning. So Paul says, "Be therefore followers of God." That word "followers" could also be imitators of God as dear children. "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness," or all impurity or covetousness, "let it not be once named among you as become as saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this," excuse me, "for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Verse 8, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Note that phrase, walk as children of light, or live as children in the light. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now think about digital technology. So Paul says, you were in darkness, but now you're called to walk in light. And I think we would all recognize that there is a lot of evil that comes with digital technology. And then now let's jump to verse 15, where I'd read the verses prior to this. Now, verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or that you walk carefully, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." So just a few things I want us to take from these verses as we think about digital technology this morning and time management, how we handle it. So we are called to imitate God. Paul says there in verse 1, or be followers of God or imitators of God, and we sang how God is holy this morning. We are called to be set apart. We're called to be holy. God does care how we deal with digital technology or how we handle it. We are to put off all uncleanness or all the impurities, and we are to walk as children of light. And then verse 8, verse 15, to walk circumspectly or to walk carefully, and then redeem the time. That phrase redeem the time could also be said making the best use of time. That's hard to do sometimes, right? To make the best use of time. There's many times where I fail at this, where I don't always make the best use of time. But Paul says we are to walk carefully and to redeem the time, or to make the best use of time, and to be filled with the Spirit. So we can use that as our guide as we think about digital technology. So this morning I want us to take a careful look at our use of technology so we redeem the time that we are granted. We all are aware, I believe, that we're only going to be given a certain amount of time. And God cares what we do with the time that we're given. And we are to not waste the time that he blesses us with. So as we think about technology, let's use Ephesians 5 as a filter, if you will, as we use technology. We can filter it through the lens of Ephesians 5 here and to imitate God, to walk as children of light, because we were once in darkness, now we're called out to walk as children of light and to redeem the time. So the first point, I'd like to look at technology dangers. And there's a few here that I'm just going to look over this morning. You could probably add many more to this list. And some of these dangers come from this book, Surviving the Tech Tsunami by Gary Miller. So digital distractions. We could spend a lot of time talking about distracting things. How many of you have ever picked up your phone or went onto a computer and got rather distracted by things that were on the screen. It's probably happened to all of us at times. There's a lot of distractions that can come with digital technology. I want to share a story, a very powerful story and a very sad story that Gary talked about. He was in Romania. He was visiting with three men. It was a grandfather, his son, and then the grandson as well. It was three men, and he talked about three men and three risks. So it was in the, let me see if I can find the exact year. Well, it was in 2012 when Gary was interviewing these men. But the grandfather was sharing some of his life experience as a follower of Christ and some of the persecution that the Christians faced. In his time, he knew what it was like, or for him to gather with the church, you know, they had to do it in secret because it was under communist government. They had to meet secretly. He knew what it was like to have his fellow brothers and sisters to be hauled off to jail and being persecuted for their faith. And then his son eventually made the decision to follow Christ, and he also experienced suffering, some persecution. I don't think he wasn't killed for his faith, but he went through some times of very much of unknown what would happen. There was one time where he had Bibles in his car, and he was traveling down this road, and he met an oncoming car, and the car just turned around and started following him, and he had this car full of Bibles that he was trying to smuggle into another country. He was risking his life for the sake of Christ, and God spared his life, but there were so many close calls in his life. So there was a grandson, or the grandfather, his son, that were risking their lives for the sake of Christ. And then as they were sitting around the kitchen table, Gary turned to the grandson and wanted to hear some from his perspective. And I want to read just a little bit here some of the grandson. His name was Paul. And Paul says this. He said, Paul talked about his daily life and spiritual journey compared to his father and grandfather when they were his age. Paul was also honest about his own spiritual struggles. He would like to be closer to the Lord, but has difficulty finding time for personal devotions. When I inquired about his greatest obstacle, he didn't hesitate. Technology. Paul spends about 6 hours each day on his computer. He comes home from school and immediately gets online to check email, communicate with friends on social media, or play an online game. But his greatest challenge is movies. For me, movies are a problem. I know they are affecting my spiritual life. Sometimes I try making promises, knowing I have to cut some of this out. They take a lot of my time. Paul seemed genuinely perplexed about his inability to overcome the lure of digital entertainment. So it's a sad story what happened, you know, from grandfather, his son, and then the grandson, and what digital technology did. Now, the digital technology, thinking about distractions, it can be a huge distraction. And for digital technology for him was really distracting him from his walk with Christ. He had that desire, but yet the digital distractions were so great, and it was affecting his relationship with God. And I believe it's happening to many, many people today, just the lure of digital entertainment. And it has affected my own life. I'm not here trying to... I certainly don't have this all together. And there's many times where it has robbed me of time that should have spent, you know, reading the Word or communing with God. It can be a very real battle, I believe, for each one of us. So three men, three risks. Two men were risking their lives for the sake of Christ, and the third was at risk of his own soul by being distracted with digital entertainment. I want us to do an internal look this morning where we are. Are we a little bit like Paul? Is digital entertainment distracting us from our walk with Christ? So technology dangers. So digital distractions. Another one could be God and Google. How many of you have a question? Sometimes you just go to Google for answers, right? I've done it many times and I still do it some. And I'm not saying it's wrong to do it, but we need to be careful with it. Gary Miller says, one of the most perplexing traits of humanity is our tendency to worship objects made with our own hands. So idols were common, maybe more common years ago, and in some countries still fairly common where there's actually physical idols that people worship. But Google also, I believe, can become an idol. So Google, we can Google anything, anywhere, anytime, right? As long as we have reception, the service to be able to Google it. And we can find instant answers many times. So Google, combined with Wi-Fi, is a little like God. God is wireless, God is everywhere, and God sees and knows everything. And Google gives me instant answers. So Google can be a very useful tool. It can also be dangerous. And here's what I had done as I was preparing for this topic. I just decided to experiment a little bit. I Googled something along the lines of evidence that for God's existence. And there was so much information that came up. I could have probably read for hours on evidence for God's existence. So then I did basically the opposite. I searched evidence or proof God. No, I think it was proof God doesn't exist or something along those lines. So much information came up. So for the person that really is unstable or maybe not sure exactly, you know, what is truth, they can be led astray so easily with Google, because Google has many, many answers, not all truth, but things that we can find and go to. So we can basically, or someone, if they really want to, they can create their own belief, really, by going to Google and finding something that fits how they want to live or what they want to believe. So we need to be very careful with Google. I believe it's a useful tool, covering a little bit on the next point, but I think it can also be very dangerous as well. So thinking about technology dangers, another thing, studies have been done, and people are getting more and more lonely. Another one in this book, Gary talked about connected and lonely. Studies have been done showing social media is causing more loneliness. Those who spend more than 2 hours per day on social media were twice as likely to feel lonely than those who spend less than 30 minutes per day. So we have all these, you know, friends or online friends, and yet people are very lonely. We need real relationships. Another technology danger is seduced by sight and sound. So we live in the age of screens where books can now become boring, right? Something that's more entertaining, or watching a video is more entertaining, maybe can capture or hold our attention better. I don't think it's wrong to watch some videos or helpful videos, but we need to be careful with it. Videos are designed to keep you there. YouTubers use usually very catching titles or catchy titles to, like, what are they really talking about? Or I can't, or you won't believe this happened, or a very catching title, sometimes rather deceptive. You might click on the video and watch it and be like, okay, that wasn't exactly as what I was expecting or as good as I was, you know, as they made it sound, but they're designed to get you to click and to keep you there. I believe there was a book written by Neil Postman, I believe titled Amusing Ourselves to Death, and he was alarmed at the powerful negative impact screens were having at that time. Now, the interesting thing about this, Neil Postman, I don't think he's living anymore, he wrote this in 1985. 1985, that was before I was born. He was concerned about what was happening, the negative impact of screens. What would he say today if he was still living and seen many of us at times glued to our screens? So we need to take a careful look. We can be distracted by sight and sound very easily. Gary Miller asked the question, is there a day coming when we will serve the technologies originally created to serve us? And I believe that happens at times, whether we are serving the technologies originally created to serve us. So we shape, or another quote from Marshall McLuhan, he says this, we shape our tools and afterward our tools shape us. So thinking about that definition that we looked at, the definition of technology, it is science or knowledge put into practical use to solve problems or invent useful tools. So sometimes the tools that were designed to serve us end up, we end up serving them. So technology, when abused, doesn't always live up to its definition. So we looked at a few technology dangers, and we might say or might think, well, what should we do? Should we say no to digital technology? Would that be a better route? I would like to look there or get to that a little bit towards the end of the message. So what should our response be? Is there a good side to technology? Is digital technology helpful as well, or is it all dangerous? Thinking again about the knife and the phone, I think we'd say there, as was said, there can be both can be used for good, but both for harm. So let's look at some technology opportunities. Is it possible that while the enemy is at work, while the devil's at work, distracting many people, getting many people like Paul in Romania distracted, and instead of having a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, he is glued to his screens. I believe that's the devil was very busy distracting many people. Can God also use technology for good? I believe he can, and I assume most of us would agree with that, that technology can be used for good. So a little bit of looking at technology opportunities. There's many things here we could look at as well, but one way to spread the gospel. So the Great Commission in Matthew, Jesus said, we are to teach and to baptize people and to go into all nations. Well, we can spread the gospel much faster today than many years ago with digital technology. Heralds of Hope is an organization that is getting broadcasting the gospel through radio into many different places where the gospel can be spread because of digital technology. There was also a story that Paul shared in this book where they had actually, they put the Bible downloaded into a little card, and they were able to smuggle that digital, or the card of the containing the Bible, into a country much easier than they could have taken Bibles into the country. And then they actually used, there was a print shop in this closed country where they took this card to where the Bible was downloaded onto, and they, at night, or during the day, they would use their print shop for various things. At night, they would shut their print shop down, and then they would print the Bible at night in this closed country. Because of digital technology, they could much faster spread the gospel and to print Bibles in much more volume than before because of digital technology. Websites also can be a very useful tool to spread the gospel. And here at Shenandoah, we have a church website. Many churches have websites where they can put messages and other useful resources to spread the gospel. Thinking about technology opportunities, another way we can use it is thinking about Riley and Katharina. Even though they're living across the world, we can connect with them very easily through text or email. We meet with them, actually this week, Riley and I plan to meet. We can do a video call, or we can actually, it's not the same as being in person, but we can still communicate very easily because of digital technology. I know some of you enjoy listening to different messages and podcasts, things like that, but there's Anabaptist Perspectives. If you have never tapped into Anabaptist Perspectives and you have the time to be able to take in while you're working, maybe to listen to good resources, Anabaptist Perspectives is a very good resource to tap into good material, biblical material. Strength to Strength is another one. You can listen to a lot of good content through digital technology or because of digital technology. There's a Strength to Strength Brothers. I think there's a Brothers and a Sisters. It was initially started, I believe, during COVID and has grown tremendously. They meet, I think, typically every other week. It's all virtual, where they will have a guest speaker, and it's 6 o'clock every other Saturday morning, typically, and then I think once a month they have a Strength to Strength Sisters as well. There's Sound Faith, another, I believe they would have podcasts and things like that. So there's a lot of good resources out there as well. There's a lot of evil, but there's also a lot of good. So it makes it hard, you know, well, I want to look at that under time management, you know, what should we be doing with digital technology? So we can see a lot of good, but yet we recognize there's a lot of bad as well. So, is technology, I'm going to go back again to the question I asked in the beginning, is it a blessing or is it a curse? Or can it be some of both? And I believe it, I would believe it can be both. It can be both a blessing and a curse, and it depends on how we use it. Maybe a little bit like money. Money is essential, right? in order to go through life, we do need money. And yet Jesus, or in the New Testament, talks about money being the root of, or the love of money is the root of all evil. So we need to use money carefully, because we can use it for good, we can use it to advance God's kingdom, or we can use it for evil as well. And I believe the same with technology. For many years, I think it was a lot easier for us as Anabaptists to navigate through some of this digital technology. So when TV came out, I wasn't around when, you know, people had to make decisions, or churches had to make decisions and talk about, like, what do we do with TV? Well, there was a lot of Anabaptist churches that said, there's a lot of evil that comes with the TV. So they took, a lot of Anabaptist churches said, let's say no to TV. But then with smartphones and iPhones and things advancing, it became harder to say no. And now most of us probably have a smartphone or an iPhone in our pocket or by our side throughout the week. When we're all alone, we have this device where we basically have TV. And we need to be thinking carefully about how we use digital technology. So now moving to the third point, time management regarding technology. So how should we respond to technology? So Gary talks about a survey that he, I believe, organized, had other people helping him. But there was a survey that was done in many Anabaptist churches regarding digital technology. So there were questions that he had for church leaders and the older people in congregations, and then also questions for the young people in the congregations. I want to look briefly at that survey. So some of the questions for the church leaders and the older members was, what is the vision for their church, and what approach are they taking with technology, and how satisfied are they with the results? He also wanted to know how connected they were with their youth and if they were comfortable communicating with them regarding technology. So then some questions for the youth. One of the questions were, how is electronic technology being used? What impact is it having on their spiritual walk? And do they believe the church is well informed and has a good plan and vision for the future? So this survey, it took some time to do, but when the results were coming in, Gary was quite shocked at the contrast from what the church leaders and the older people in the congregation were saying and what the young people were actually saying, like what's actually happening. It was very alarming. There was a big disconnect in many churches. And I believe we need to be thinking about this as we have these things in our pockets, because we live in an area or a time before where some of our parents and grandparents didn't have the same, or have to deal with the same things as we do. So he broke that survey down into a little bit. I'm not going to spend much time. This is why I guess you need to pick up the book if you haven't read the book yet. But one on the more conservative end, probably more like the Amish and the very conservative Anabaptist church, some of them took the approach where they just said no, like things to the smartphone and computers or the internet, for example. So they took the approach and just said no. And on the other, more other extreme, some of the churches said, well, let's just leave it up to individual families or the fathers, and you're like, let the Bible speak. And they didn't really give guidance to things like the internet and some like TV, things like that. Some of the alarming things was from the youth. It was very sometimes similar results were happening. So the ones that said, just say no, you know, some of the church leaders and the older ones weren't aware of what the youth are actually dealing with. So some of the young people were still getting a hold of phones and still getting ways to use the digital technology, but they weren't guided on how to use it because their parents didn't want them to have it, or their church leaders didn't want to have them to have it. So they got, this is putting at large, I know there was many variables, but at large it was just many young people involved in very gross, immoral things through digital technology, and the many of their leaders unaware of what's really happening. But this similar thing happened on the more extreme end, where they said, well, just let God's word speak, and it more just let up to the fathers and the homes to give guidance. There was a lot of immoral things happening there too. So there was this disconnect that was happening between young people and the older ones in the church. And the churches that did the best, Gary talked about the integrated church, where they did give some guidance to the internet. They gave some guidance to the use of smartphones. And instead of just saying no, they recognized there is some good in this. And they didn't just let the young people have access to it without talking through some things, but they gave guidance to it. And they were careful how much time was spent. And they guided their young people through that. And those churches were doing the best. And there's a quote I want to share from Karl von Clausewitz. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right, but he was a Prussian general who was involved in several military campaigns in the 1800s. And this is what he said. I quote, "Defense is the strongest form of combat in which you always lose." And I'll read that one more time. "Defense is the strongest form of combat in which you always lose." And the reason I say that, I don't think we can take the approach where we just say, no, we're always on the defense, but we need to give some instruction in how we should live in an era of digital technology. So I believe the same is true in the church with what he said regarding military. Defense is the strongest form of combat in which you always lose. I don't think we should just hunker down and preserve, but we must reach out and attack the enemy as well. So I believe Satan is wrecking many people's lives, not just young people, with digital technology, but we need to not just be on the defense, but to reach out and attack the enemy and to live carefully. So towards the end here, I'd like to look at some practical application, thinking about digital technology. And again, thinking about this knife and the phone and how we should use them. So again, thinking about this knife, we recognize this knife can be used for a lot of good. Maybe for lunch today, some of you will use a knife to cut meat or other things, to break it down and use it as a tool. But again, we don't just let it lay around or put it in the hands or allow an evil person to have a knife to do something harmful. We're careful with it. We recognize it's a tool to use for proper things. And the phone and computers, we need to use them carefully. We can do a lot of good with them. They're useful, but we must also recognize there's a lot of danger that comes with it. Not only like the knife can take a life, but the phone can really kill us all, or we can lose our relationship with Christ if we do not guard our use of digital technology. So, practical application. How can we, again, thinking of Ephesians 5, how can we walk as children of light in 2024, where we have AI, artificial intelligence, where we have very distracting things on our phones? There's things that are wanting to captivate our attention. How do we walk as children of light? How do we walk carefully or circumspectly, redeeming the time or making the best use of time? Well, the first one I have down is we must love God with all our heart. Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it's a command that I think we should always strive to do, and yet it's a very hard command as well, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The reason I say that sounds very basic, very simple, and yet I think that's the truth that we do need to guard our heart and to love God with all our heart. Some may say, or you probably heard this, that someone say, well, if the heart is right, nothing else matters. If God knows my heart, you know, nothing else really matters. We can also flip that around and say, if the heart is right, everything matters, right? So if my heart's right, it matters how I use the time on my phone, what things I view on my phone. If my heart's right, everything else matters. So we are commanded to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If our heart's right, everything matters. And the reason I say, again, we must love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, I believe filters have their place. I believe accountability groups have their place. But if our heart, if we don't want to really do what's right, if we don't love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we can find ways around filters. We can find ways around accountability and all that if our heart is not in its right place. We need to want to live for God and to live a pure life for God. And I'm going to share a little bit of my opinion this morning, so take it as an opinion. And if you disagree, I'm open to discussing it with any one of you. I believe every one of us should have someone in our life that comes to us sometimes, and it's okay for them to ask very personal questions. And the reason I say this, we now live in a time where never before, where we have access to things that our parents and grandparents didn't. And I know there's differing views on accountability groups and how they should all be run. There's pros, there's cons. But for our, I'll say grandparents. Maybe some of it's our parents. But years ago, I'm going to use pornography for an example. If someone wanted to access pornography, they probably had to walk into a store that sold the magazine, face the cashier, and go through the embarrassment of that, versus today, in their own, say, bedroom or wherever they are when they're by themselves, they can just pull this device right out of their phone, maybe even have a good filter on it, but they can maybe find a way to get around that and access it right there where they didn't have to face anyone, and they have it right there. And maybe something popped up that they weren't even looking for, they weren't even trying to get there, and something pops up, and in a weak moment, it's like, oh, what's this? And they click on it, and before they know it, they're in a place where they never, ever intended to go. And that is why I believe we should be intentional, like fathers with our children. Brothers in the church, we should be intentional about having conversations like this. And I realize if our heart's not in the right place, we can lie, we can do whatever we want and get around these things, but we need to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But I think it's so important as well to be open and honest with somebody. Whether you're in an accountability group or whether you just reach out to a brother and say, hey, would you be willing to, whatever it looks like, just you can come to me and you can ask me, how it's going with maybe specifically digital technology or whatever it might be where you feel like you might be susceptible. Or I don't think anyone, we might feel like, we would never, ever fall to digital distraction of something immoral or something like that. We might feel like we're above that. And yet, I think that's prideful thinking in a sense. Just because of where things are at in the world, I believe we should all have someone that we are accountable to, or someone that it's okay to ask personal questions, or maybe expected to ask personal questions. I also believe we need to amputate at times. Jesus said, if your eye offends you, to pluck it out, right? If your right hand offends you, cut it off. Now, I don't think he meant that literally, like we're literally to pluck out our eye, because our other eye, still we'll see things. But we need to amputate what is causing us to maybe fail or cause us to sin. So if it's our phone that we continue to see things that we shouldn't be or going places that we shouldn't be, what amputations are we willing to take? Remember, it's our soul that is at stake here. We need to amputate where needed. A few things that I did. So I have Facebook, and I know there's a lot of other social media platforms as well. But I use Facebook mainly for business, and Facebook has, I know I've wasted too much time on Facebook, and it can still be a time waster at times. Now I can say, well, I can learn a lot through it too, through business, and there's a lot of learning opportunities. I view it as, it is a tool, and yet it can also be a time waster as well. And as I was studying for this, I found myself, so in the shop I'm usually working by myself, and when someone sends me a message or calls me, I found it very easy to just go into Facebook for a little bit and just scroll for a little bit. I enjoy seeing different things or following other taxidermists. It could soon be, or it was, a time waster. So I set a time where I would just limit myself to, I don't need to keep clicking in there various times throughout the day, just limiting my time there. And in the accountability group that I'm in, we've talked about those things, and it's something I still deal with. I still sometimes spend too much time on, but I want to encourage us to take a personal look in our lives, and how are we, or how are you using time or digital entertainment or digital technology? How is it affecting your life? Also, with Facebook friends, I've learned quickly that, well, before I had it more for business, it was more for personal use, and then it turned into more business use. There was also friends that I had that I didn't even know, and sometimes they would post very inappropriate things, but I have learned that I can easily unfollow them. I can still be friends with them, but I won't see what they post. And it's a way to help, like, keep my mind from seeing some of those impure things. So it's a very simple thing to do that helps keep some of those inappropriate, or keeps you from seeing some of those inappropriate things. So thinking about technology, technology is only profitable if we use it wisely. So thinking again, it can be a tool, but it can also be a hindrance. It's only profitable if we use it wisely. And a quote from Gary Miller, he says, "No matter how amazing technology becomes, it must not become more important to us than a tool designed to assist. While technology can do great things, it becomes useless when disconnected from its power source. God alone is life-giving, life-sustaining, and worthy of our worship and praise." The end of the quote. So thinking about, yes, technology has its place, and yet it should not take the place of God. God alone is the life-giver. He is alone is worthy of our praise and worship. So maybe the real question, or the best question, isn't whether technology is good or bad, but rather we should be asking, what is technology doing to us or doing for us? Is it drawing us closer to God, or is it marring or hindering our relationship with God? So thinking about this topic, technology and time management, what I would like each of us to do is take a look into our own life. So this week, when you pick up that phone, when you are on the computer, whatever it may be for you, thinking about, look at it through the lens of Ephesians 5. Are you using it wisely? Are you walking as children of light? Are you having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? Are you redeeming the time? So, in conclusion, we looked at the dangers. There's a lot of dangers out there with technology, but there's a lot of opportunities as well. You can use technology as a tool, and we are to manage it carefully, making the best use of time. And may God give you wisdom as you take a careful look at your use of technology so that you can redeem the time we are granted. None of us know how much time we are granted, and I would encourage you not to waste your time with digital distractions. And again, I'm talking to myself as much as anyone here this morning. It's an easy distraction, very easy distraction, but God cares about how we use our time, and we are called to use it wisely. And it's not going to go away, at least not that I can see. And I believe it's going to be a struggle that we're going to continue to face. And I think we need to be a church that bands together, asking each other some personal questions maybe in how we are using it. And my cry and my plea is that we're just open and honest with each other. When we're open and honest with each other, that is how we can gain victory. First, being open with God and honest with God where we're at, but then also being open and honest with each other and working at this together. Older people speaking into the lives of younger people and just banding together and working together through this time that we've never experienced before, where we have this many distractions, I believe, with digital technology, but also using it as a tool. So God bless you as you seek to honor Him with the time that He has given you regarding digital technology. And afterwards, I wouldn't care to talk about it afterwards. If any of you have any suggestions or things that we can do to better work together to honor God with the time that He gives us. Let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be a church body here that bands together, that loves one another, cares for one another as we think about the time that we are living in and digital technology. May we take an honest look in our life where we are at. And I pray that you would speak clearly if there's things in our life where we need to amputate, where we need to cut it off in order to live a victorious life. I pray that we would not be like Paul in Romania, who was so distracted by digital technology that he did not find time for you. But may we set aside our digital distractions to get alone with you, to connect with you, to pour out our hearts before you, and to read your word. Pray that you would give us wisdom as we navigate through these times, and that we may redeem the time that we are given. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.